B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Lamed Zayin. We're going to start from the Mishnah, approximately a third down from the top of the Amud. And we'll remember that the Kohen Gadol, he's still wearing the Big Day Lavon, and soon after he put on the Big Day Lavon, he went to the area Bein Ha'ulam Lamizbeach, and he did a vidui, a confession on his par, on his bull. And at this point in time, the bull is still there, standing there waiting, and the Kohen Gadol is moving to the next step of the Avodah. Ba'aloi lemizrach ha'azorah, he's now coming to the Mizrach, to the eastern side of the Azorah, which is where the Sha'ar Nikonor was. And letzofoin ha'mizbeach, where exactly, means we know that he was on the Mizrach, which means adjacent to the wall, the Mizrach wall of the Azorah, but he was standing over to the tzofoin side of the Mizbeach. Hasgan, the deputy Kohen Gadol, Askan Kohen Gadol Miyamine, was on his right. Verosh Beis Av, and the head of the family, Mismoile, was on his left. And that was just a prominent way of the Kohen Gadol coming to that area on the Mizrach of the Azara. Vesham, and standing there, just close to the Sha'ar Nikonor, but slightly over to the Tzofin, Shnei Seirim, there were two he-goats that were standing there. Vekalfi Hoysasham, there was a chest there. Uba Shnei Goyrolois, there were two lots inside this chest. Shel Ashkaroya, they were made from this Ashkaroya wood. Hoyu Va'ason ben Gamlo Shelzov, at some point later on, when Yeshua ben Gamlo became a Kohen Gadol, he actually formed these lots not out of Ashkaroya wood, rather out of gold. Va'hoyu Machrizin Oisei Leshvach, and they would praise him for upgrading the lots. And now that we've mentioned something that Yeshua ben Gamla was praised for doing in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah is going to mention a few other changes that happened in the passage of time that the Chachomim praised them for. So the next one was Ben Kotin, Oysa, Oso Yud Beis Dadei Lekidad Lekir. At first, the Kier just had two spouts, one above the other. And at some point, and we've already mentioned this before on Daf Chof Hei, that Ben Kotin, he wanted that all the Kohanim who needed to do Kiddush Yudayim V'Raglayim, that would be part of doing the Korban Tomid, there were 13 Kohanim, but the first one was the Sheichet, didn't need Kiddush Yudayim V'Raglayim because Shechita was kosher bizarre, but the other 12 needed Kiddush Yudayim V'Raglayim, that they should all be able to do Kiddush Yudayim V'Raglayim together. So he made in the Kiyor 12 spouts. He added another 10. Sheloi hoyu lo elo shnayim, there were only two to start with. And even then, we'll see at the end of the Mishnah, all those that are about to be mentioned were all mentioned leshvach with praise, and the Chachomim were very happy with what they'd done. This Ben Kotin, he also made this mechanical device, a machine for the kiyur, because the kiyur had the halacha was a klei shoris, and in a klei shoris, anything that's put into a klei shoris can become posel belina overnight. Whatever's in them becomes posel, and the water in the kiyur would become posel overnight. The only way to avoid that was to submerge the kiyur into some type of a collection of water underground, some type of a spring. And then the water of the kiyur, which would be touching the water of the boir, of the water underground, and then that would stop the water in the kiyur becoming posel lino. So he made this mechanical device with which they would lower the kiyur underground. Shaloyu meimov nifsolin belina, in order that the waters of the kiyur should not become posel with lino. Another thing, munvus hamelech, the king Munvaz, Hoya Oisa Kol Yodai Sakelim Shalim Akipurim Shel Zahov. All those utensils whose handles were not made of gold, those that were used on Yom Kippur, he would make them out of gold for these utensils. Another thing says the Mishnah, Hilani Imoi, Heleni Amalka, the queen Heleni, who was the mother of Munvaz Amelech, Oston Nivreshes Shel Zahov, she made a chandelier, a candelabra of gold, al pesach heichel, that was hanging at the entrance of the heichel. Va'afi osta, what else did Heleni Amalka do? She made tavlo shalzov, a tablet of gold. She parasha soito ksuvo leo, because when the soito would come to the Beis HaMikdash, and there would be a whole procedure, and they would read out to the soito certain psukim from the Torah, in order to avoid having to take out a sefer Torah to read it from, then then she arranged that the parasha of the Sotah should be written on this gold tablet that was hanging there in the Beis HaMikdash, and they would read it from there. And finally, Nikanor Nasu Nisim Ledal Soisov, Nikanor, a great miracle happened with the doors, which we know as the Shar Nikanor, the doors and the entranceway to the Azorah are named after Nikanor, Vahoyumaskirnos Son Nishvach, and together with all those we mentioned before, they were all mentioned Lishvach with praise. And the Gemara is going to discuss some of them. Says the Gemara. The Gemara is first taking us back to the beginning of the Mishnah. What does it say in the Mishnah? That the Kohen Gadol would come to the Mizrach HaAzorah, L'tzofin HaMizbeach, to the Tzofin side, the northern side of the Mizbeach. And that term seems to be that the Mizbeach was more south, and these goats were standing on the north. And it's almost as if to say that the Mizbeach was not in the north, was totally on the southern side of the Azorah. Midekom HaLitzfoin HaMizbeach, since the Mishnah says he would stand at the north of the Mizbeach, Michlal de Mizbeach lav b'tzofin koi. So it would seem that the Mizbeach was not standing on the Tzofin, on the northern side of the Azorah at all. And this is a discussion we've had previously, exactly where the Mizbeach was positioned. So asks the Gemara Mani, who is this following? Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov, it must be Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov. De Tanya, the Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov said in the following brisa, that the Pasuk says, Tzofeino lifnei Hashem. It says, V'shochat oisei al yerech ha-mizbeach tzofeino lifnei Hashem, that the korbonis were shechted on the yerech, on the foot of the mizbeach, on the north of the Azorah. So what does it mean, tzofeino lifnei Hashem? That the entire tzofein was lifnei Hashem, and the entire tzofein area of the Azorah was on the yerech ha-mizbeach. That means the mizbeach was further over than the tzofein. There was nothing in the tzofein of the Azorah besides for the area where they would do the shechita. Sheyehei tzofein kuloi ponui. Divrei Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov. That's how Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov understood that the entire northern section of the Azorah was only there to use for shechita. There was no mizbeach there. And so our Mishnah must be following that, because it seems from the Mishnah that these he-goats were on the tzofein side, which was tzofein of the mizbeach. Asks the Gemara, V'horeisha b'lezer b'Reb Shimon hi. We saw in the previous Mishnah that where was the bull of the Kohen Gadol standing? Bein ha'ulam la'mizbeach. And we said over there, that was the first Gemara that we learned before, that, and daf lamed vav amud aleph, that bein ha'ulam la'mizbeach, the bull must have been standing on the tzofein side of the Azorah, where they were going to do the shechita. That's where the Kohen Gadol did his confession and the smicha, leaning on the bull. And that was called Bein Ha'ulam LaMizbeach, which means there must have been some section of the Mizbeach that was on the northern side of the Azorah. So you've got one Mishnah, the Mishnah at the end of Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, that seems to be following Rebbe Elezer ben Shimon, and here we have our Mishnah that seems to be following Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov. And they're two opposite, the two different opinions, they're arguing. One holds that the Mizbeach was in the Tzofin of the Azorah, and the other one says that it was not in the Tzofin. Answers the Gemara, no. Kula Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov. It could well be that even the previous Mishnah is following Rebbe Elezer ben Yaakov, that the Mizbeach was totally on the Dorim, on the southern side of the Azorah, not on the northern side. And you're going to ask me a question, how could you say Bein Ulam LaMizbeach, that the Mochim HaShechita, which must have been Tzofein, was a place Bein HaUlam LaMizbeach, V'toni K'Bein HaUlam LaMizbeach. It was in the area, in the space that was parallel to the airspace between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. But there wasn't actually a Mizbeach there. It means, and that point, it means if you would measure from east to west of the Azorah, then the point that had a part, Bein Ulam La Mizbeach, further tzofin into that, that's where the bull was standing. Continues the Gemara. The next thing we said in the Mishnah is when the Kohen Gadol came towards the Shar Nikanor, towards the Mizrach of the Azorah, towards the two goats, then the Sgan, the deputy Kohen Gadol Biyamina, was on his right. Barosh Beis Av, the head of the family, was Bismoile, was on his left. Omer Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said as follows, HaMahalech liYamin Rabbi, anyone who goes on, stands on the right, or walks on the right of his master, of his Rebbe, is a bur. He's a bur, he's an amoret, he's an ignorant. He doesn't even know the basic hanhogus of the manners and the customs of Derech Eretz. Asks the Gemara, Utnan Hasgan b'yeminoi v'roish b'zav b'smoilei. Did we not see here that the Sgan was standing on the right of the Kohen Gadol? Kohen Gadol had the position, so to speak, of being the master, the Rav, of everybody else. And it says clearly that the Sgan was standing on his right, and this seems to contradict Rav Yehuda, who says that anyone who stands on the right of his master is a boor. Void, another question. Tani, we learnt in the Braisa, Shloisha hoyu mahalchin baderech. If there are three people going on a journey, Horav be'emtza, the Rav is in the middle. Godoil, of the remaining two, the bigger one, the greater one, b'yaminoi, is on the right. V'kotn mismoilei. And the lesser one is on the left of the Rav. So again, you see that there's somebody who goes together with the Rav on the right. And another question, says the Gemara, V'chein motzinu b'shloisha malachei asharas, the three malachim who came to visit Avram Avinu, shabau eitzel Avram, and it seemed, when it's from the psukim, it seems that all three, they were not standing in a line, one behind the other, all three were facing Avram, and it says, Michoel be'emtza, the malach Michoel was in the middle, Gavriel b'yiminoi, the malach Gavriel on the right, Rafael b'smoile, malach Rafael on the left. So here again you see that there was, if by the Malach HaSharis, there was a lesser Malach that was on the right of the Rav, of the main Malach. So these are the three questions the Gemara asks against what Rav Yehuda said. Answers the Gemara, Tirgumar of Shmuel Bar Papa Kameder of Abda, Kadeshi Iskase Boi Rabboi. When it says that they were standing on the right, it wasn't exactly next to him. That's inappropriate. It was slightly behind him, so to speak, as if covering the back of the Rebbe, the back of the master. There were the two Talmidim, one on the right of his back and one to the left. But on the same line as the Rebbe, that there was nobody who was adjacent to the Rebbe. The Rebbe would go first on his own. Asks the Gemara of Otanya, Mahalich Keneged Raboi Arezebur. Did we not learn that it's inappropriate to be standing next to one's Rebbe, and Achere Raboi, Harei Zemigasi Ruach, and it's arrogant to stand behind one's Rebbe? How can you say that over here the two Talmidim, or the two lesser Malachi Asharos, were standing behind the Raboi? That's also inappropriate. It's arrogant. It's Migasi Ruach. Says the Gemara, de Metzadi, that's Dudi. To stand directly behind the Rebbe, there's some arrogance to that. But to be slightly behind and slightly over to the side, that is okay. And that's what was happening here. So in our mission also, when it says, Hasgan b'yaminei v'resh b'esav b'smoilei, we assume that the Sgan was standing behind the Kohen Gadol, slightly over to the right. And the resh b'esav was standing behind the Kohen Gadol, slightly to the left. Continues the Gemara. V'kalfi hoysa sham uba shnei goyrolos. There was a chest standing there, also on the northern side of the Azara, towards the Mizrach, on the east, just close to the Shara Nikonir. There was a chest there with two lots inside. Tonu Rabbonon, we learnt in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, V'nosan Aaron al shnei ha-se'irim, Aaron put on the two he-goats, Goyrolo is lots, Goyrol echod la-shem, one lot la-shem, V'goyrol echod la-azazel, and the other lot la-azazel, and this lot would determine which of the goats was going to be brought as a korban, and which of the goats was going to be sent la-azazel. So the Gemara says the Gemara is going to learn a number of halachas from the words and the order of this pasuk. Firstly, goyrolois, when it says goyrolois, it doesn't tell us what the lots have to be made of, shel kol dover. It can be made of any material, and indeed we see in our Mishnah that at first they were made of this wood called ashkaroya, and later on, ben gamlo, he made them out of gold. Yochoy lit yitain shnaim alzeh v'shnaim alzeh. Then we may have thought that since it says V'nosan Aaron al shnei asirim goyro lois, one would think that one has to put two lots on each of the seirim. And there's a discussion in the Mefarshim what that would mean. Does that mean that every lot was doubled over? Does it mean that after they determined each goat where it would go, if it's Lashem or La'azazel, they would then put both lots on each of the goats? There's a discussion in the Mefarshim exactly what this would mean. But Yochoy Litein Shnaim Alzeh V'Shnaim Alzeh, Talmud Leima, the Pasuk says no. It says Goyrol in single term Lashem, V'Goyrol in single tense La'azazel. Just a single lot was put on each of the goats. Ve'in kan l'shem elo goyrel echod, ve'in kan la'azazel elo echod. That the goat that was going to go l'shem, that was going to be brought as a korban, has a single lot on it, and the goat that was going to be sent la'azazel, a single lot. Yochel yitein shel shem v'shel azazel al zeh, v'shel shem v'shel azazel al zeh. We may have thought, and again, there's a discussion in the Mefarshim exactly what this means, but I may have thought that you put both of the goyrolois on each of the goats. Talmud Leimar, goyrol echod. It says explicitly that even though each of the lots was a single lot, but even that each one was just goyrol echod, only one of the lots were put on each animal and not two. Talmud Leimar goyrol echod l'Hashem ve'in kan l'Hashem elo echod ve'in kan l'azazel elo echod. And there's a bit of a confusion here with the Girusois. Im kein ma Talmud Leimar goyrol lois. So why does the Pasuk speak about the lots in plural tense if on each animal only a single lot was placed? Sheyu shavin, in order to tell us that the two lots have to be identical. Shelo yase echod shel zav ve'echod shel kesev. Not that one is made of gold and one of silver, echod gadol ve'echod katan, or one big and one small. They have to be the same. That's the end of the Braisa. Says the Gemara, that at the beginning of the Braisa we saw that Geirolois shel kol dover, that Geirolois, the lots, can be made of any materials. Pshita, is it not taken for granted? Of course it can be made of any material. Why shouldn't it be able to be made of any material? Says the Gemara, loy. Tzricha legedetanya, lefi shematzinu betzitz. We find that the tzitz, which was the plate of gold worn on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, it was one of the big day Zav, Shashem Kosvolov, Hashem's name was written on it, Ruchel Zav, it was made of gold. Yochel, I may have thought, Avzeh Kain, that this girl that says Lashem, which also had Hashem's name on, we may have thought that anything that has Hashem's name on has to be made of gold. And therefore, this girl that was going to be Lashem would have to be made of gold. Talmud Leimar. That's why it says Geirol, Geirol. Riboy mentions Geirol a few times to tell us to include any materials. Ribo shel zayis, it includes even a lot, can be made of olive wood. Ribo shel egoiz, it can be made of nut wood. Ribo shel ashkaroya, it can be made of ashkaroya wood. And Tosfos here points out that the Gemara seems to say that we learn something from the word goyrolois in plural tense, and then afterwards the Gemara says you learn it out from goyrol goyrol. So Tosfos discusses that a little bit. Continues the Gemara, Ben Kotin also shneim also dad lekir. Ben Kotin, he enhanced the kir by adding another 10 spouts to the kir. Says the Gemara, Tana, k'dei sheyu shneim osor echov ha-koyanim. The reason he did that was in order that the 12 koyanim ha-asukim b'tomid that were engaged in the korban tomid, nekachim yudayim raglayim b'vasachas, that they can together do the kiddush yudayim raglayim, and this is something we saw already on Daf Chofei Amud Beis. Tana, we learnt in the Braisa that regarding the Kiyor before it had the 12 spouts, at the point where it only had 2 spouts, that Shacharis, in the morning, the Kiyanim, they would do the Kiddush Yudayim Raglaim b'milu'oi, when the Kiyor was still full, Mekadish Yodov Raglov min Elyoin, they would wash their hands from using the upper spout. Arvis, but in the evening, b'iridosoi, when the water level of the kir had already dropped, because the Kohanim had used it during the day for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, Mekadish Yadav Raglov Min HaTachtoin, they would use the lower spout to do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Continues the Gemara, V'afu Oso Muchoni Lekir V'chulu, he was the one that made this mechanical device to lower the kir. Says the Gemara, Mai Muchoni, what was this Muchoni? Omar Abaya, Gilgala, Dehava Moshak Olei, this was a wheel that was used to lower and submerge the kir in the water that was below the surface of the Azara. Continues the Gemara, Munvaz HaMelech also kol yodis hakeilim v'chulu. Munvaz HaMelech, it was Yom Kippur, which was a special day, he would all those utensils that were going to be used on Yom Kippur, he made sure that the handles were made of gold. Asks the Gemara, Nevdinu ledithu dezov. If you're already enhancing these utensils, why are you just enhancing the handles? Enhance the utensils themselves. Make all the utensils of gold. Omar Abaya says we're talking about biyodois sakinim. We're referring to the handles of the knives, and the knives themselves cannot be made of gold, and therefore it's just the handles that were made of gold, not the knives. Asks the Gemara Meisvei in the Braisa, it says, Afu also, this munvaz, what did he also do? He made kane kalim, the bases of the utensils, va'oigne kalim, and the grips of the utensils. V'yodis kelim, and the handles of the kelim. V'yodis sakinim, and the handles of the knives. Shelema kippurim, those that were used in Yom Kippur. Shel zav, they were made of gold. So you see clearly that we're mentioning the yodis kelim separately and the yodis sakinim separately. So don't say that the yodis kelim, the handles of the utensils, is referring to the handles of the knives. The handles of the knives are mentioned separately. And then the question comes back that those kelim, that the handles were made of gold, why didn't you make the whole utensils of gold? Because there are other utensils besides for the knives that also cannot be made of gold, just the handles can be made of gold. And those, the axes and other tools that were used to chop up and to cut up the animals, and these axes, this narga v'chatzina, the handles could be made of gold, but you cannot chop with them, similar to the sakinim, and though they were not made of gold, only the handles were made of gold. Continues the Gemara, Hilni imoy osta nivreshes shel zov v'chulu. Hilni, the queen Hilni, the mother of Munvuz HaMelech, she made a nivreshes, a chandelier that was hanging by the heichal. Tana, in the morning when the sun would come up on the east, then there was this sparkles of a glow, a sparkling glow that would come from this, that would bounce off and reflect off this chandelier. And then everybody would know that it was time, it was already the nets, and it was time to say Kriyas Shema. The Gemara is asking a question on this. Hakiras Shema Shachris, we learned that if somebody says the Shema, at what time in the morning, either im Anshei Mishmor, with those Kernim that it was their duty, it was their shift to do the Avodah, and these Kernim typically, because they were afraid that they would, the Avodah would, they would get carried away with the Avodah, it would take too long, therefore they said Kriyas Shema earlier than everybody else should. V'anshei Maimud, and those people of Klal Yisrael, that was a mitzvah for them to oversee the Klal Yisrael, there were 24 groups of people. Every week a different group would come. There would be a rota that every week a different group would be there to oversee and observe the Korban Tomid, as if, because there's halacha that when your Korban is being done for you, you should be there. And the Korban Tomid and the Korban Tzibur are done on behalf of the entire Tzibur, so they were representatives of the Tzibur to be there. And they couldn't say the Shema whilst the Avodah was being done, so they would say the Shema after the Avodah was being done, which is later than the time that one is supposed to say the Shema. So in all these, lo yotza. That means that it's not the ideal time. That means the people in the Beis HaMikdash didn't say the Shema the ideal time. Not the Anshei Mishmor, they said it too early, and not the Anshei Maimud who said it too late. Mipnei Anshei Mishmor Mashkimin, the Anshei Mishmor, the Kohanim, they would say the Shema earlier. V'Anshei Maimud Ma'achrim, and those of Yisraelim that were watching, that were standing there by the Korban Tomid, they would say it later. So then who are these people? Where we just said now, Bashar, in the Brisa, Bashar Shachamos Yerechas, Nitzaitzes Yoitzim, Hakel Yedim Sheigiaz Man Shachris, who's in the Beis HaMikdash, either the Kernim or the Anshei Maimud, and they'll know when Zman Kriya Shema is. They both don't say Kriya Shema at the right time. Omar Abaya says, you're right, but there was a third category, a third group of people in the Azara, and they needed to know exactly when the right time to say Kriya Shema was. Lashar Amodi B'Yushalayim, the other people from Yushalayim who came to the Azara to observe and to be there when the Korbanis were being done, they were not the Anshei Maimud, they were not the Anshei Mishmar, they would say Kriya Shema at the right time, at Netz. How would they know when that is? When they would see this glow from this Nivreshes, from this chandelier of Hilani, the mother of Munvuz HaMelech. Continues the Gemara, V'afi osto tavlo, this Hilani Amalka, she made a tablet, a gold tablet, on which they wrote the parasha of the Saita. Shmas Shamas Mino, says the Gemara, we see from here, Koisvin Megillah Latinoik, Lislamidbo, that if you need to, normally you're not allowed to write just one section of the Torah. And we see here that a single section, the parasha of the Saita, was written independently. So you see that when there's a need for teaching purposes, one's allowed to write just a scroll, just a small section of the Torah. Om Rish Lakish Mishum Rav Yanai. Rish Lakish said in the name of Rav Yanai, no, you're never allowed to write just a section of the Chumash. Rather, Ba'alaf Beis, what this Hilani Amalka did, she didn't write the whole parasha. She just wrote an abbreviation of the parasha. She wrote the letters, just the first letter of each word. That you can do, and that would remind the Kohen, what to say to the Saita. Asks the Gemara Meisvei, we saw in the Braisa, Kashahu Kosev, when the Kohen was writing down the parasha, because we know that the Kohen, he had to write down certain parts of the parasha of Soita would be written on parchment, and that would be rubbed out in the water, and that's the water that the Soita would then have to drink. How would this Kohen write this parasha? Roya, he would see, he would copy it off somewhere. Not, you don't write it by heart. He would see what's been written. V'kosev, mashak, v'kosev. He would see what's written on this tablet, and that's what he would write down on the parchment. And they did this. The reason that she wrote it on the tablet was in order not to have to remove the Sefer Torah. So you see clearly, and on this parchment, you clearly could not just write an abbreviation. You had to write the full parasha, the full words. So you see, that the Kohen would write what was written on the tablet. So you see, the whole parasha was written on the tablet, not like Rabbi Yannai said. Says the Gemara, no, Ema, you should read into the Braisa, Roya v'kosev k'moshe kosev v'tavlo. He didn't copy exactly what was written on the tavlo. He would look at the tavlo, look at this tablet, and then he would know what to write. He would indeed only see an abbreviation, but then he would know what words to write. Meise, we're asking on this from a different Braisa. Kashu kosev, when the Kohen was writing the parasha that needed to be written down, Roya v'kosev mashe kosev v'tavlo, Umar Kosov Batavlo, the Braisa continues, he would see what's written on the Tavlo, he would write down what's written on the Tavlo, and what was written on the Tavlo. And now the Braisa is not going to say abbreviation. It says, Im Shochav Ish Oysoch, Im V'im Loishochav, Im Sotis, Im Loisotis. And these are the psukim. There's a number of psukim there in the posuk, where it says there, V'ishbi Oysa, Kohen, that the Kohen would say to this woman, Va'omar, he would say, he would make a shvua, Elo isha, im lo ishochav ish oisach, ve'im lo isotis, tuma tachas isheich, inoki mime amorim amorim ma'ile, va'at ki sotis tachas isheich, ve'chinit meizvitin ish boches, shchovtoi mibal adei isheich. So you see clearly that there were some words that were explicitly written here, not just abbreviations, and again, it's a contradiction to what Rav Yannai said. Says the Gemara, Hosom Basirugin. It was not full psukim. You're not allowed to write down full psukim in the Torah unless you're writing a whole chumash. But just a small parasha, you're not allowed to. It was written Basirugin. It was jumping. It was a few words. No, it wasn't even a full pasuk. Just a couple of words, and then abbreviations. Rashi says it was be written there Im Loi Shochav, and then till the end of the pasuk, an abbreviation, and then Vaat Ki Sotis, three words, and then again an abbreviation. And then Rashi brings Yitin Hashem Oisach, three words, and then the rest with an abbreviation. And then Uboim Amaim, and then after that, again, the rest of the words of the Pasuk, an abbreviation. That means the four Psukim that were read to her, just the first two or three words were written explicitly, and the rest were done with an abbreviation. And so that means there were some words written, but no full Psukim, and not even a string of words, and therefore one was allowed to that way write down a Megillah, just a small section of the Chumash, but to write down a small section of the Chumash in its full text, that is not allowed. And this is based on Sugis elsewhere in Shas, but this is the Gemara here. Continues the Gemara, Nikonir Nasu Nisim Ledal Soisov, miracles happened to the doors that Nikonir brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and these doors were called Shara, they were placed in the entrance of the Azara, and till today, that entranceway is called Shar Nikonor. Tanu Rabbanon, we learnt in a Braisa. Ma nisim nasu ledal soisav. What miracles happened to these doors? Omru, they said, Kishaholach Nikonor lahovi dal sois melachsandria shel Mitzrayim. When Nikonor went to Alexandria of Mitzrayim, there were obviously a lot of craftsmen. We've seen this before in Shas, that in Alexandria of Mitzrayim, there were many craftsmen. He wanted to bring doors that were crafted in Alexandria. Then Bachazarose, on the way back, Omadalov Nachshel Shabiyam, a very strong gale winds at the sea, was threatening the Tovoy to sink the ship. Not Luachas Mem, they threw one of the doors, they thought that maybe it would help them if the ship was a bit lighter, they threw one of the doors out into the sea. Vitilu Olayam, they took it and they threw it into the sea. Vadayin Loinoch Hayam Mizafoy, and the sea did not calm down from the storm. Bikshu Lahatil Eshchaverta, they wanted to throw the second door into the water. At that point, Nicanor said no. Omatu v'korcho, he stood up and he hugged, so to speak, these doors. Omar Lehem, and he said to the people on the ship, Hitiluni imo, if you need to throw the door out, you're going to have to throw me out with it. Miyad noch hayom mizafu. At that moment, the sea calmed down from the storm. V'hoyom itztayir al chaverto, he was very pained about the other door. Maybe he thought that had he been meisen nefesh like that for the first door, he would have saved that door as well. Kivin shehigia l'namolo shel Akko, when they arrived at the port of Akko, hoysam mevatzvatzas v'yoytzas, then poking up from underneath, doifne asfino, from under the walls of the boat, of the ship, was that first door that got thrown out. Yesh oimrim, some say, beria shebayam baloso, there was some creature of the sea that swallowed that door, v'kioso leyabosho, and spat it out on the shore. V'leo oma shleima, and on these doors, Shleima Melech said in the Pasuk, in Shir HaShirim, Koyreis boteinu arozim, the beams of our home were from cedar, rohiteinu, our doors, beroisim. So beroisim, the literal translation is, beroisim is a type of material, a type of wood. But al tikra beroisim, don't read it beroisim, elo bris yam. And the question is, this word bris yam, Rashi's got two explanations. Does it mean bris as in a covenant, that the two doors, so to speak, had a covenant with each other to stay attached to each other? Or is it not bris, it's brias, it's a creature of the sea, referring to the creature that swallowed that door. Lefikach, therefore, kol ha'sha'orim sh'hoi b'migdosh nishtanu, liyeh shel zov, even though at first, when Klal Yisrael came up after the Golus, they didn't have a lot of money and the doors were not made of gold, but later on when they became more wealthy, they coated or they changed all the doors to be made of gold. Chutz mishar Nikanor, besides through the gates of Nikanor, the doors of Nikanor, that they did not change them at all. Mipnei shenasu by nisim, because a nes happened to them, they did not want to change them. V'yesha imrim, others say, mipnei shenachishton mutzeves, these doors of Nikanor that were made of copper, the copper of these doors, mutzeves, shone very bright, mutzeves also, they had a very bright shine to them, and that's why they didn't want to change them. That was a type of nechoshes of klunisa, which was a very refined type of nechoshes, and it would shine as if it was gold, and therefore there was no need to change those doors because the impression those doors gave was the same as that of gold. And in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.